So the first kind of ethics, okay, the ethics that to abandon acting negatively. So this, what this means is if we have any of the pratimoksha vows, in other words, the vows for self-liberation, which include the monks and nuns vows and the five lay precepts, okay, the 8 one-day precepts. So if you have any of those vows, then this first kind of ethics means keeping those vows purely. Okay? So those of you who have taken refuge, then you definitely have the vow to abandon killing, and then you may have taken actually, you know, 2, 3, 4, 5 of the lay precepts. Okay, so keeping those purely with an attitude of bodhicitta, then it becomes this first type of ethics. If you don't have any of the vows of individual liberation or the pratimoksha vows, then what this refers to is abandoning the 10 negative actions. Okay, so, and actually even if you do have some of the vows of self-liberation, if you have the 5 lay precepts or whatever, this includes abandoning the 10 negative actions. Okay. So won't go through the 10 because I hope you know them all by heart. Do you? Do you? No? Okay. First three. Killing, stealing, and unwise sexual behavior. Okay. Those are the three that are done physically. 4 that are done verbally. Okay, so lying, slander, harsh words, and idle talk. And the 3 mental ones? Okay, coveting and maliciousness and wrong views. Okay, so we did this at the beginning of the path. It's coming here, reminding us again. And it's really important when we go through these, to remember that these are not laws, you know, the 10 negative actions are, the Buddha described these as guidelines to help us, you know, as a tool to help analyze our own behavior and refer to our own behavior. So the Buddha did not say, thou shalt not do this. Okay? Buddha just said, if you do this, you get this kind of result. Now check up. Yeah, do you want that kind of result? If you don't want that kind of result, don't create the cause. Yeah, so it's something that's left very much to our own wisdom and our own discretion. It's not commandments. And these things also are not things that the Buddha created. Okay, the Buddha didn't create the fact that if you kill others, you get a lower rebirth. Okay, Buddha didn't create karma and the functioning of karma. Buddha simply described it. Okay, in the same way that Newton didn't create gravity, he just described it. Okay, so to really remember this, because this is a very different way of looking at ethics than perhaps we grew up hearing about ethics when we were kids. And I say this because it's another example of how sometimes we come to Buddhism, we hear a teaching, but we hear it through the eyes of a 6-year-old child in Sunday school. And so we misinterpret. So it's, you know, I really take pains to explain this because it's important. Okay, so ethics is something that we really choose to do because we see how it makes our life happier and how it makes our life more peaceful. And it's really true because if we look over our lives, a lot of the things that when we see conflicts with other people or kind of, you know, when we've really gotten ourselves into sticky, gooey, messy situations in our life, we can very often trace it to, you know, 1, 2, or 10 of these 10 things. Yeah. I mean, when we start lying in our relationships or extramarital affairs or stealing things or gossiping, we can see how it just contributes. We can look at our own experience and see how it contributes just to so much confusion and problem in our lives. And not only external problems with other people, but also how we feel about ourselves. And so sometimes we might act unethically and get an advantage that acts temporarily in our own favor, but underneath it all, we don't feel very good about ourselves. And so there, you know, this whole buildup of guilt and self-hatred and confusion, and, you know, even if we got away doing what we did, and even if everybody else said, oh, that was really shrewd and smart of you, still underneath it all, we're the ones who live with ourselves. And so a lot of the kind of psychological unease, I think, comes from negative actions. And, you know, when we really meditate, we can begin to feel that. You know, when the anger, when the mind is filled with anger, there's a certain kind of energy in the mind. And even though we rationalize, well, this is good, and yes, I should do this, and I need to, you know, tell this person off, I need to do this, I need to do this. And even though we rationalize, and it's, and we build up a whole, you know, court case for what we're doing, the bare fact is that when we sit there alone with ourselves, the mind doesn't feel good. Yeah, there's some kind of disturbing attitude in there that's giving rise to one of the 10 negative actions. And so that doesn't go away no matter how logical of a court case we build in our own defense. So in psychological terms, that's called denial and rationalization. Yeah. We're pretty good at it. And the thing is that, you know, don't expect it to go away quickly. I mean, kind of perfecting our ethics and generating ethics is something that really takes some time and some very deep introspection and kind of constantly coming up with new ways that ego has to kind of get around the whole thing. But it's really, as we explore it more and more, we learn a lot more about ourselves, and our mind does become more peaceful. And Lama Zopo, you know, once gave an example when he was talking about ethics that really, it struck me so deeply. And he was saying that we talk a lot about world peace and how important world peace is. And yet we often don't, you know, see the necessity of ethics for world peace or for, you know, less crime or a more harmonious society. But if we look in our own lives, and let's say we as one person take, you know, abandon just one of the 10 negative actions, like let's say just the first one, to abandon killing. If we as one person don't kill, then what that does is it means that everybody else on this planet can feel safe at least around one person. Yeah? And when you think about that, that's 5 billion human being safety that we're talking about when we abandon killing. So if you go more and you say, well, if we abandon also taking things that haven't been given to us or stealing, then that means every other living being on this planet, their possessions are safe when they're around us. So our keeping good ethical conduct is something that has a really far-reaching effect on the planet. And sometimes we don't see this. We say, well, you know, world peace, how are we going to do it? There's just too much going on in society. Everything's screwed up. And you know? But if we just stop and look at one person's conduct, how much we can do if we get our own act together, and how much that contributes to the safety and security of others, then we really see how powerful even keeping one or two precepts is. Now, for everybody on this planet. And then if you think, if everybody on the planet were able to keep even one precept, forget about all 10, you know, if for one day everybody took the precept not to kill and kept it, newspapers wouldn't have anything to write about. I mean, what would they put on the 6 o'clock news? I mean, that's just one precept. It's something really to think about. And, you know, we shouldn't minimize the value of the force of our own ethical behavior and how much positive contribution that makes to society and to world peace. And we shouldn't minimize that.